From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. Man, what a week, right? I mean, Packer training camp, stockholders, shareholders meeting, that was fun. EAA, perfect weather. And this is not the time of year, traditionally, where people think of voting and elections because we even went cherry picking yesterday. I mean, this is summer right now. But in less than 3 weeks, we have an important election coming up. I'm going to talk about that this portion of the show. And then I have some candidates coming on for the next couple weeks, and we're going to hear what they have to say. Again, I mean, everybody's going to get excited after Labor Day, and everybody's going to be excited about the November election. But these primaries, very low voter turnout. We just need you to be informed, and it's your choice if you want to vote or not. But my job here is to inform people as to what's going on. And so that's why I chose for these next couple, 3 weeks to talk about the election that's coming up on April 13th, the primary. And again, just as a reminder, here at Lean Local, this show is where we don't lean left or right. We educate. We try to tell you what's going on. We get candidates from both sides of the aisle, as they say, on this show. But, you know, we don't, like some shows, really take a very strong position. I don't. I've always been, for 20 years in politics, pretty nonpartisan. And although I have my own personal beliefs, my job here is to just really talk about both sides. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at the ballot that's coming up. And it's a little confusing, you know. And, you know, I've seen a lot of ballots in my life. And referendum questions can be a little confusing as well. And if you talk to the experts who write referendum questions, sometimes they write them confusing so that people vote no. I don't really understand it. Sometimes these referendum questions, if you go back and look at them, sometimes there's double negatives in there, which is really, you know, you really got to sit down and you're in a voting booth, there's somebody behind you, and it's like sometimes you feel rushed. It's like, no. But you can also do your research like you're doing right now by listening to this show, and we're going to talk and decipher these a little bit more. I wanted to bring someone in who, he tells me he's nonpartisan, who understands politics. He's been in it for a while, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I'm like, hey, look, why don't you come on the show and just explain this election that we're having in August. It's August 13th. That's right, August 13th. Yep. Yep. And you have some concerns about the ballot, but the ballot's the ballot, right? It's done.
Yeah, there's a couple of things, and
I want to introduce you first. I have on the owner of Uptown Cheapskate. No, I shouldn't introduce you. And former, are you still representative, right?
Oh yeah, I'm.
When will you be former?
January 5th, I think.
Oh, well, see you there for a while. But John Mako, who's been on our show before, and we talked on the phone, and he promised me he would just explain and share his knowledge with me and my listeners and my assistant, Kyle. So what do you think of the ballot?
There are two very, very confusing things that are on the ballot this time that voters need to know to make quality informed decisions. One of them is we have simultaneously a special election for Congress and at the same time, a general election for Congress. So people will see on their ballot, when they get their ballot, on the top, they're going to have a special election. And you can vote for the member that you want for Congress. And that special election is only for who is going to fill the seat and represent you from November and December of this year. That's it. It's just a special stopgap election.
I printed out the ballot, and you're right. It starts, and that looks weird.
It looks super weird.
It almost looks like they printed it twice.
It looks like you printed it twice.
Because I don't think people read the dates like they
don't
need to.
And so,
or
so
maybe
it's
I don't,
super important, and it's a game, and you know, I'm proud of the fact that I can be called a Trump toady and a rhino all in the same day. So I do think I'm nonpartisan. You know, when we built our company, just like you, Jim, the best idea wins. You know, I that's exactly how I feel about it. But this is nothing but shenanigans. And so we've got the special election running simultaneously with the general election. So on the top of the ballot, they will have to vote for who they want. They'll have to vote twice. So whoever you're voting for Congress, you have to vote for them in the top. Then all of a sudden it has the presidential election. So you got to vote for the candidate in your presidential election. And then you have to, then it shows the Congress again. And you say, well, wait a minute, I just did that before. Nope, you got to do it twice. So
this is super partisan. Confusing. This is a partisan vote.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're voting, we're going to get to the referendum questions that everybody votes on, but this is more under the Republican side.
What's that?
This where you vote twice. You wouldn't do that on the Democrat side, right?
Sure.
Her name's on there twice?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you got to vote for Congress twice, once for the special. And I'll tell you, I don't know how far you want to go with it, but you might ask a question like, oh, why would anybody be doing this? And there's a legitimate reason why they're doing it. It doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, our friends on the other side think it makes a lot of sense. It's confusing as all get out to everybody else. It seems lit silly, but yeah, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you have to vote twice. Vote first for the special. And then in fact, our friends on the other side would prefer you vote for the special. If you're voting that way, you'll vote for this. They right. want you to vote for the special. They are intentionally trying to capture the congressional seats in November and December.
Right.
That's all they really care about.
Well, both sides are trying to capture them. So
Republicans already have control of the Congress.
Yes.
And they have that through January or until the first week of January.
Right. I understand
and
that.
So that's not who's pushing this.
Okay. All right. You're going to get the ballot, and I printed out the ballot. It's right in front of us here, although our listeners are listening on the radio or downloading this on the Civic Media app. And so you're going to vote twice because right. one of your first vote fills the vacant position, and we don't want to be without representation. So that is why we're filling the vacant position. And then there's a new go back to go and start over in January where we start with another two-year term.
But there was logic that went into that. When Representative Gallagher decided he needed to step away, and there's some legitimate reasons why he had to do that. I absolutely understand what was going on and why that was necessary for him and his family. That's not the point. The logic, they sat down and they said, well, when are we going to time this? When are we going to do this? And everybody said, all right, if you just wait and do it on such and such a date, then it's so close to the election that we don't have to bother with a special. And that is a time and true regular routine that everybody follows. And somehow or another, some folks started to, you know, just like Bill Clinton argued, you know, what's the definition of is? And all of a sudden they start looking at those issues and decided, no, we can go ahead and do that. So anyway, for whatever reason, two issues. Number one, there is a special election and a general election, and everybody needs to get out and vote for that right in 2 weeks. That's what they got to do.
I know.
And then the second issue is the referendum question, which is equally confusing.
I swear, before we leave the election for the primary, this election, very low voter turnout.
Yeah, that's the part. See,
I mean, why though? Is it because, like I said in the intro, summer we're at Packer things, we're biking, or do they work just as hard? Is the direct mail and
Oh yeah. But again, you know, when you've got when you don't have real primary, you know, the only question is who are the Republican congressional district
right.
going to be. Now,
that's the big
there
thing.
Are some down ticket races, Mayor, that you've got to be cognizant of. For example, assembly races. Even in my 88th district that I'm not running for, there are two candidates running. And so that, you know, it's very important
yeah.
to do that. Now, you ask why? I don't know why. I'll vote. I have voted every time for every election since I was 18, even if all it is dog catcher. I feel absolutely obligated that I have to go and vote in person every single time there's a vote,
Did
period.
You do it primaries too?
Absolutely.
See, I can't. I was hoping I could say that, but you know what?
I can't, but the best of my recollection, think of any election that I ever missed, no matter what
See,
it was. Spring election,
I missed more elections
fall election,
than I did church.
Primary election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, that's because your brother's a priest and you would have gotten, he would have been
my
dead
uncles.
Meat.
Uncles. But you can just go to my vote and it prints out your ballot. You type in your zip code.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
awesome.
And I think I would
people
suggest
should do that.
People need to do that.
And sit down at the dinner table.
Absolutely.
Although, you know, sometimes you cancel each other's votes out.
I do that all the time for my wife because she doesn't follow it like you and I do.
Right.
And a lot of spouses don't. And that goes to your question, like, why is there so much apathy for the primaries? And I think that's just it. People are busy. They're worrying about their kids. They're worrying about their school. They're worrying about their families. They're worrying about their whatever it is they're dealing with. And they go, I don't have time to deal with this. And so they'll vote for the candidate of their party once it's all decided and they don't want to get involved in that. And but, so, going to my vote and printing that off, and then you got it, and you can sit down at the kitchen table and go, okay, what does that look like?
It's 13 pages, and that shouldn't scare
you. Is it really?
Well, the font is so large. They addressed it
to people
like me.
Is that it right there? 13 pages? Holy moly.
No, John, it's just large print, and maybe not everything's as interesting as you think it is, but I just want people to do that. And if your kids are 18, you got to sit around the dinner table with
them. I think it's a teaching opportunity. It's a great opportunity, actually, to do that, to sit down with your kids and go, hey, here's the deal. Kyle, you're a kid.
Kyle, will you vote? I mean, or just because you work here now?
Well, there's only one election I missed, but I was in college and working at the time, so I just couldn't.
No excuse.
That's lame.
Yeah, right? So I think printing this out and talking to people is a really good idea.
Yeah.
So any other thing on, because I want to come back and talk referendum. We're going to go to a break, but anything else on the general election? It's a partisan, so you have to vote either Republican or Democrat.
No. Well, yeah. But again, that's, you know, you can, I wish that you would have to do that. So people are going to, there's a genuine concern that if you already know that if you only have one candidate. So, for example, if you are a Joe Biden fan and there's nobody running against him, you can say, well, I don't need to vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to vote for the other side because I want the other guy to get in. Right. So that's some shenanigans that can be played there.
You're overthinking this thing.
Okay,
print out the ballot, read it, sit down with your family, decide what you want to do. That's just the voting twice on the congressional thing. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the referendum questions, which I even think are people need to learn more about them. So we're going to be right back. We're here with John Mocco and Jim Schmidt with Lean Loco. We'll be right back.
I walk to the sound of my own drum.
With Jim Schmidt, a show that where we aren't leaning left, we're not leaning right, we're just kind of leaning to the local issues. And what we're spending some time in the next few weeks is this special, is the primary election that's coming up, Tuesday, August 13th. I mean, that's just a few weeks away. And I want people to get out and vote. Of course, I want you to get out and vote, but I really want you to, this is, I would think, a little bit of a confusing ballot. And I'm hoping that today and over the next couple of weeks that give you some comfort. And I guess the first thing I would say is go to, you know, myvote.gov and print out the ballot and sit down and look at it. But again, this is an election where you vote under the Republican side or the Democrat side.
Yeah, I want to clarify that because you asked me that question and I was going in a little different direction. So, yeah, you do have to pick a lane and then stay in that lane.
Yeah.
But
all right. Now, on the referendum, you don't pick a lane.
No, there's a referendum. It's yes or no.
Okay, so let's go through these two questions.
Well, yeah, there's a lane, but
let's go through these two questions for our listeners here.
Yeah.
So, state of Wisconsin, delegation of appropriation power referendum. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Question one: delegation of appropriation power. All right. Shall Section 35, Paren 1 of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislator may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriate? Now, for the average person, I think they, you know, I don't think that's super easy to understand. I think when you read it a couple times, it makes more sense. But may not delegate sole power. I think that in and of itself is a sentence.
Yeah. So I can answer that question, Jim, but maybe we ought to talk about what is a referendum. I mean, it's kind of confusing.
Do you I think people know, but let's do that.
Okay, because I think there's, let's say there's a non-binding referendum.
It's a waste of paper and time.
Yeah, it's a waste of paper and time.
And people used to do that.
No, they still do that. So you'll remember a couple of years ago, they had the marijuana referendum. So again, certain groups said, we're going to put the marijuana on the ballot. And it wasn't a binding referendum. It wasn't a constitutional amendment. It was nothing. It was just a non-binding informative thing, thinking, gee whiz, people will look at that. And it's confusing because you look at it and you go, oh yeah, I think we should have pot all over the state of Wisconsin. Well, that wasn't binding. That wasn't even advisory. It was nothing. And so it was a referendum that didn't mean anything. Then you would have a referendum like you had, for example, in how to get whether you wanted to have term limits. That was a binding referendum.
I've done two referendums.
You did?
And I've waited for the votes till they were binding. Because when they're binding, that means you can't undo it unless you take it out the way you put it in. And binding means that the citizens voted on it.
Correct.
Term limits, and you followed that a little bit.
Yes, I loved it.
I tried to get term limits in city council, and it's like, well, that's why we have elections. And then we got the votes to do an advisory referendum. And I didn't do it. I'm like, I don't want this because it's going to come back, and you guys aren't going to honor it anyway. And we've had advisory referendums before in the city. So then we finally got six people to say, look, I'll go for a binding referendum, and six votes in me gets it out there. So we put together, and they were like, this is ridiculous. My district is not interested in this. Do you know the smallest vote of, first of all, it passed by.
What was it?
You talking landslide? Like
it was like 75.
No, it was like in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
We had some in the 80s, but a lot in the 90s.
Nice.
So, I mean, come on. Talk about self-preservation. You know, my district doesn't want this.
Yeah.
You're the one that doesn't want it.
No.
You know, so we're going to term out some of these guys. And Congress, it's ridiculous how those people are in
totally
Senate.
Agree.
It's 42 years.
I would
That's
do
crazy.
Term limits in a heartbeat, Jim.
Well, I want to get to that.
You're absolutely right on that.
So this
is a binding example. Okay. That is a good example of a binding referendum.
The other binding referendum I did.
Once the people vote on it, it becomes the deal.
Should we serve liquor on the west side of Green Bay?
That was a referendum.
That was binding.
How come?
Because we couldn't do it.
What?
Like from Broadway up to probably military.
Some old thing was in place that said you couldn't sell liquor north of Broadway, on west of Broadway?
And it was the same thing that where we had to have two of those to smash the water thing for fire department. There was like horse and buggy law. But so anyway, we changed that. But those were both binding. Anyway,
so
back to
that
this.
Is Let's a good example. Yes. So Jim, what we're trying to do, so that was a horse and buggy thing that was put in. When did this referendum we're talking about now, that folks I'm asking them to vote yes on the 13th, what was that? Where did that start from? In the 1930s. So literally during the Depression, when we had the Great Depression. And that's when that came in. And the things were hitting the fan, and we had to, you know, move fast and get that stuff done, and it was very confusing. So what that question says is what is to undo what the legislature did 90 years ago, which they said we are going to abdicate our responsibility of oversight, and we're going to give it to one person. And so what that says when you read it, it says we will not delegate our responsibility. So meaning the legislature. The representatives, the people that the people vote for, we can't give our power away. We can't do that anymore.
That's why we elected you.
That's why you elected
us. Okay, all right. People can do that. They can call anybody they want, but that is the question, is delegation of power.
Right.
Okay.
Like I elected you for a reason. You can't go and give it away now. So quit doing that.
Fine.
And
okay,
then the second,
question two. I want to
go ahead.
Question two is the federal monies. This one is easier to understand, I think. Do you?
Okay.
I do. And this one just reads very simply that shall Section 35, Paren 2 of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to prohibit, not allow. It doesn't say not allow. I'm saying that. Prohibit the governor from allocating any federal monies the governor accepts on behalf of the state without the approval of the legislative joint resolution as provided by the legislative rule. So that means the governor gets, I don't know, COVID, right? Gets money.
Billions.
And he can't just willy-nilly that out to certain things. He needs to get the approval of the people closest to the flame, the elected people.
And almost every state does it that way.
Okay, and we don't?
No. And so what ended up happening, so for example, again, you know, so we spent COVID money. I mean, if you're spending COVID money on COVID stuff, everybody will understand that, right? It makes sense. It's emergency. This is what we got to do, right? Good, bad, or indifferent, that's what we got to deal with. But do you think a soccer stadium in Milwaukee is a COVID thing? But yet we spent millions and millions of dollars on a soccer stadium. I love the National Railroad Museum. Have you ever been down to the National Railroad Museum lately? Many times. It's a beautiful thing, right? But we gave them millions of dollars out of these ARPA COVID dollars. Does putting in a new building for trains at the National Railroad Museum, does that rise to the level of COVID emergency?
But that still could have happened had the governor, but it would have required legislative approval.
Right.
So it still could have happened. You're not saying...
I mean, maybe, but we would have gotten all kinds of...
I would agree. Never I just want happened. To say that. But what this does, and what this does is that it the governor still can recommend stuff, but it gets approved, like the budget,
absolutely,
by the assembly.
Like all the rest of its stuff. So right. I'll give you another good example. Broadband. Quickly. Broadband. So we have broadband connectivity. Now, you and I right here, we can dial up on our internet and we can get that really quick. Mm-hmm. But if you go up to Abrams, it's not so fast. And what we were trying to say is, could you spend some of that money here? We had zero saying in that. None. Brown County got none of that
because
money.
It was federal money and the governor decided.
And the governor
decided.
Did what All he right, wanted I, and he laid that okay. out. And I want to let you know, he is still sitting on $1.5 billion of okay. that money.
All right.
And no one and right. has and
August,
is using it for a slush
We can
fund.
Change it August 13th if we want.
Yeah. You
All
got
right.
it. You got to say yes
All right,
on
let's
both
get
of
out
them.
And vote. August 13th. It's less than 3 weeks away. Thank you for joining Lean Local. We're going to be right back with Tony Weed.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lean Local. Again, as a reminder, this is a show that really focuses on what's going on locally. And we have our concerns with, you know, what's going on in the Ukraine and Gaza, and of course, what's going on DC and presidential elections and everything else in our state. But, you know, my concern and my focus and my energy is what's going on locally here. And as much as we want to be local, we're not an island, right? We are tied to other forms of government. And there's a very special, not special, there's a very important election coming up, really on August 13th. So it's only a couple weeks out from that. And there are three people running for Congress. And, you know, Congress, that is an important job. And if you remember back to, you know, poli sci and civics in school, they have a lot of control over funding, over policy. And, the district here that we're in, the 8th Congressional District, has three people running for the primary. And I invited them all in. And the first guy to call me back and said, hey, look, I'm in, is Tony Weed. And I'm sure you've seen his signs. And Tony, just welcome. And I just want to be, and I'll say this to everybody, I just thank you for running for office. I think everyone should run for office, and I think everyone should be a waiter or waitress. You really understand what people are thinking. But, you know, a guy like you, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're doing this.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate you having me here today. And, you know, that is a good point. And I think, you know, that's why I'm running, is what you said right there. I think people should run for office. And, you know, I'm a business person. I grew up right here in Brown County. I grew up in Ashwaubenon. I went to public schools through eighth grade. I decided to go to a Catholic high school at Notre Dame Academy, which is an amazing school. And I played football and hockey there. I played football and hockey my entire life. Then I decided to go to another Catholic school for college, which was St. Norbert College, located right here in the district, right in De Pere. There I met my wife. We met later in our years in college, and we got married shortly thereafter, and then we had four children, really within 5 years. So we were a very, very busy household in our early 20s, right after we got married. Angela and I, you know, we got into business. We decided to get into convenience stores, gas stations, and we started that right away, right out of college. And so we had a 24/7 business.
Really, you were that young when you started that?
We did. We started. Wow. I started right out of college.
Well, I'll give you credit. I love the entrepreneur, and as you know. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Well, right. I didn't know you were that young. I mean, I know you, but I didn't know you were that young when you started.
That's, and you have a background, obviously, in business before you decided to get into politics.
So entrepreneur we have of the year.
Quite a bit. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Well, I like that about people. That just, I can't be that partisan to you, but I just think that that's important that you understand that money doesn't grow on trees.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and really, I grew up in an entrepreneurial business. Right. My mom and dad were in the snowmobile business. They owned Central Snowmobile Salvage. And so I grew up watching my parents, and they sold used snowmobile parts. They're very entrepreneurial. And so I spent a lot of time with them, and I spent a lot of time at work. And, you know, entrepreneurial at its best, they basically took apart snowmobiles, old ones, and they sold used parts to people. And there was a need back then for snowmobiles. Mm-hmm. That's when people were working on snowmobiles, where now, you know, they have real, you know, expensive snowmobiles. You really don't work on them. And so they found a need. They solved a problem for people, and that's their business. So, you know, I always say, hey, if we had a winter like this when I was a kid, where there wasn't snow and there wasn't cold, it was a very, very tough winter for us. There was very few presents underneath the Christmas tree. It was a very difficult time, and I was always with my parents. I loved the entrepreneurial spirit of it. I loved the thrill, the ability for them to, you know, make good decisions, solve problems, and work hard day in and out. And I saw them go through those really, really tough times. Mm-hmm. And again, like a winter like this, it would have been tragic for our family. And of course, then you'd have, you know, good winters as well. But, you know, what I saw was that hard work, the tenacity, and just that grit that my parents had. And I always wanted to be like them. And so getting into the convenience store business was a very similar business. It was a very difficult business through the entire time. There was, you know, anytime you do something like that and run a small business for 30 years or almost 30 years, you just learn a lot. And you learn a lot about yourself. But what you ultimately learn is that you can never give up. You have to keep fighting. You have to keep working. And that's important to do day in and day out.
So I would agree, you know, that private sector experience. And I think, I don't want to talk about the other candidates now, but you could be considered an outsider. Right? I mean, have you been in politics before?
Well, I am an outsider. I am the only outsider in this race. Both of my opponents have been in politics their entire careers since 2006, 2008, roughly in that area. And so I've just spent my time focused on business. I've focused on my family. My number one job was always to be a good husband and be a good father. And, you know, that's the number one goal. And then you mm-hmm. have your business to provide for your children and for your family. And so, you know, we had the good fortune 2 years ago, and we didn't expect it. It was a very bumpy ride in our business. It was very difficult, but we had the good fortune of being able to sell our business 2 years ago. We didn't see it coming, but, you know, things happen. And, you know, right after the COVID, there was low interest rates, and it was just a really good opportunity. We were presented with an offer that we just couldn't refuse. So
nice.
2 years ago, we were able to sell our entire company. So we went from basically a 24/7 business for our entire adult life while raising four children into adulthood, all the way to our youngest child at that same time went off to college. And we sold our business. So we went from 100 miles an hour down to zero about 2 years ago.
That's like a perfect time to just tee it up and check out. You got the money, the kids are gone, yet you're, I don't know, I want to say jumping back into the fire, but I mean, I want to dig a little deeper on, I think that's great. I mean, What made you do this? Run for Congress, and you know that's every 2 years you got to raise money, and not everybody's in love with you all the time. And
well, that's a really good question. I did make the decision, and I had good, you know, folks that helped me through this process, and you know others that had sold their businesses as well. And you know I was 47 at this time, and again it was unexpected. But what I decided to do, and someone a really good mentor of mine, and I have some great mentors that I've listened to over the years, but they said, look, you need to take some time and just do nothing and just let it all out. Let all of that, you know, all of those experiences out for at least a year and then retool and decide what you want to do. So I'll just tell you that, you know, going from being that busy all of those years to then not having any responsibilities for a year was a very opening experience for me. A lot of prayer. I became very, very faithful. I have, my faith has grown so much. And but not having all of those responsibilities as a man was a difficult thing. Now, I'm not saying that it was, hard. I mean, we did very well in selling our business, but just not having that but allowing myself to take that year and just truly pray on it. What is it that I can do to serve and to, where can we make the greatest good around the world? And that's what I did.
And there's some very famous books written, but one of them is The Second Half. Which is, mm-hmm. You look at what am I going to do now after I sold my business, it's a great book that I think everyone should read. So you went through this discernment and family, friends, mentors, and like, hey, Tony, you got a lot to give here. We'd like to get you in Congress. What do you want to do in Congress? Why Congress versus governor, Senate, senator, all that?
Life's
mayor.
Well, maybe we should have talked before. Although I live in De Pere, so I think
that would have been a little bit of an issue.
I think we have, yeah.
I just want to tell you one quick story. I was out campaigning. I've said this, and I was knocking on doors. And a guy came up to the door with his kid. His kid's probably 10, 11 years old. And it was in a nice part of the city. And Jim Schmidt, I'm running for mayor. I said, okay. I said, and I gestured to the kid. I said, hey, someday you could grow up and be mayor. And the dad said, oh, we have higher expectations than that. I was like, okay. Anyway.
I love that. You
chose the congressional path. And why?
So, basically I've always loved the country and I've always wanted to serve our country in some way, shape, or form. And just, I've always been very interested in history and the governance and in the way things work in our federal government. And, life's all about opportunity. And, just always being ready for those opportunities and then seizing those opportunities when they come along. And so this is always something that I've wanted to do. But, hey, there's people in office and, Mike Gallagher was serving in Congress and he was on his fourth term. But all of a sudden we were visiting two of our kids that go to University of Wisconsin. We were at a Badger hockey game. And a friend of mine leaned over during the game and said, hey, Mike Gallagher is not going to run again for Congress. And right then and there.
Wow.
I looked at her and I said, I'm doing it. I'm running.
That's awesome.
So, my wife almost fell off her chair, but I mean, she's always known my love for the country and known that I've always wanted to do something, that with a bigger purpose and make a big difference around the world. And being in business that whole time and raising four children, and it really is a lot of work. I really enjoy the everyday, the thrill of making things work. I'm a problem solver. I love to just, attack problems, move through them and continue to move forward and be successful. And I think, for me, that is what truly makes me tick is, mentoring, leading, working with people. And I found that, people say all the time, geez, the hardest part about running a business is employees. I hear that time and time again, mm-hmm. especially now after COVID, which is very difficult to hire. And I can agree with that to a certain extent. And it was difficult, but that's truly what I love to do. I loved leading. I was often captains of my teams growing up in hockey and football. I coached hockey and football. I was president of nonprofits. I've always been a leader in everything that I've done. And, I just love that feeling of being able to produce, to achieve. And I think that's very important for people.
And I think Congress, and, again, I don't spend a lot of time out there, but it's pretty partisan and antagonistic is the right word, but people don't seem to get along.
Well, I agree. And I mean, it's Hollywood. People are on, they're on TV, they're on Fox News, they're on CNN, MSNBC. And that's what we see is politicians up there talking and, talking about people and attacking and consistently trying to win arguments. And I think there's a place for people that are authentic, that are really, truly there to serve the public. I'm not there to, truly to make a living. I'm doing this truly to serve and to make a difference for people. And again, there's a place for good, honest representation. Yeah. And I think really career politicians to me are the problem. We have career politicians that are in Congress and throughout politics, and they really truly change. And they change to just truly serving themselves because you do have to be reelected every 2 years. And again, that's not my goal. My goal is to truly go into Congress. I know it's going to be extremely difficult. Starting a campaign and doing all of this from scratch is like starting three businesses. It's very entrepreneurial, especially since I don't have a background in it or a family that has been involved in it. But just having that, the ability to work hard, you know, it's like pushing a big boulder up a hill every single day, which to me is just like business. And so that's what makes me excited about it, because I know I can make a difference. And I really, truly want to, you know, learn what people, what matters to people in this district, and truly represent them.
I would, okay. So you've got the character, I think, and I don't think, I know, for that, and willing to do that. I want to talk about, we're going to go to a break in a little while. We can get started now, but I want to talk about, like, you know, you're a good listener. You can listen to people, but there got to be some things you want to do as when you, well, you know, your elevator pitch, like three things that you would like to do in Congress. And look, government is a slow moving process, but I'm not saying the next 2 years, but in the next 4 or 6 years, like, what would Tony Weed like to accomplish when he's in Congress? That's realistic. I mean, look, we're not going to sing Kumbaya together. We're just, but what, what things, what is like Tony Weed's platform? I'll ask you about that. And then you kind of alluded to it, but I really want to get, and I'm going to ask everybody else, Ryan, like, where are you at with term limits? Like, I've got a pretty strong feeling on that, but I, again, I'm nonpartisan. But I want to talk about that. So we're going to go to a quick break here, but Tony, I do you mind if I ask you why you're about the Trump endorsement? And you can,
absolutely,
if you want to talk about that, that's totally up to you. But I do want to talk about the three things you'd like to accomplish. And then I want to ask you about term limits. So we're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Tony Weed. Jim Schmidt with our special guest, Tony Weed. Tony, as many of you know, you should know, is one of the candidates running for our congressional seat here in District 8. And he really talked a lot in the first episode about his just outside experience, some of the things he's done with his business, and how he feels like that's going to really help in Congress. But when you get into Congress, like, you must, you know, I'm sure you've thought about this in great detail, but what are some things you would like to get done, that you'd like to see done in this country? I mean, you're one of 435 people, but what would you like to see done?
Well, going to Congress, my main goal is to provide good, strong leadership, you know, and I think we need civility. I think right now what we see with Congress is all these, you know, it's career politicians. It's a career now. And we see people just, you know, basically screaming at each other and just focusing on winning arguments all day long. And I don't see a whole lot getting done. I think, you know, Congress has the approval rating of a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I go around the district, you know,
high.
People are very, maybe a little lower, yeah. But, you know, people are, you know, kind of, they're skeptical.
Yeah.
They're skeptical of folks in politics, and they should be. I am too. And, you know, I think first and foremost, I'm going to come into this, and I said it from day one. And when I hired my team, look, I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be myself through the campaign and while I'm in office. And if I can't win doing that, then that's not the right thing. It's not meant to be. So I'll ultimately want to bring really strong leadership, you know, from an authentic perspective, and truly focus on attacking the problems that are so important to people right now. So as I go around, and there's 11 counties, there's partially Winnebago, yep, and there's 10 other full counties, you know, the biggest thing that people are concerned with right now is the border. And, you know, I hear that time and time again. Look, the border is completely wide open. It has been since the Biden administration and ever since they came into office. And, you know, people are coming in unchecked. And people are really concerned with law and order and the fact that, you know, there's drugs that are coming in, the fentanyl crisis that is happening. There's now new types of opioids that are coming across, which are a big concern. There's this new drug that, you know, even Narcan doesn't, you know, work
against.
That's
unbelievable. Yeah, you know, then
you think of the crime and just the fact that, you know, there's human trafficking and the cartel activity that is so rampant throughout Mexico that is also coming into the country. And, you know, that first and foremost, we need to absolutely build the border wall. And I'm very committed to that. I want to make sure that I support President Trump. And, you know, being endorsed by President Trump is an honor of a lifetime. And
I believe in President Trump. I want to ask you about that. I want to jump to that because I want to get the other two things you're working on. You're the border security. But, you know, I see your signs and you're very proud of the fact that you're Trump endorsed. And how did that come about? I mean, that I've met him a couple times. I was telling Kyle that, you know, I think that's. For a Republican, that's pretty admirable.
Yeah, you know, I got into this race, and I'm going to be authentic, and I'm going to come at it, you know, from a position of where I truly want to do good. I was a believer in President Trump when he came and ran in 2016. I voted for President Trump then. I was a supporter of him during those 4 years, and I think he's my favorite president. I think if you look at across the board, President Trump's policies make sense, and I think he did an absolutely wonderful job. What I learned as an outsider in this race, especially going against two career politicians that have name recognition, they've both been in this career for 20 years, is that I don't have name recognition. You know, I'm a small business owner, family small business owner that, you know, I don't have the political name in order to go out there and get elected, right? But then I looked at it and said, well, I'm a huge supporter of President Trump. I think we absolutely need him in office these next 4 years, and I know he's going to win and be our 47th president.
And so would you call him or did you go down there? How do you get
you know, that's one of the biggest questions that I get asked.
Well,
how did you get that endorsement, Tony? What, you know, what is it? Well, I just, you know, like I would do anything in life, I go all in. And I said, you know what, I'm going to earn his endorsement. But when I said that, I had no idea how I was going to do it. And so I just started showing up. I started showing up at events, political events. I started showing up and calling and getting in front of people.
Wow.
And I ended up going to a political event in Oconto. And it was right after Congressman Gallagher, mm-hmm. You know, had made some votes and there were some people that were upset about it. And so I went up to Oconto and I met somebody that is within President Trump's orbit at that meeting. But I went to that first meeting I ever went to was the first political meeting was in Oconto. And I drove in to that parking lot. And I just showed up there. I don't know exactly how I got there, but I ended up, I mean, I drove there, but, you know, I don't know what drove me,
right?
You know, to get there. But I remember driving into the parking lot and there was cars in the parking lot. Everybody had American flags on their car. They had, you know, Trump stickers, very patriotic type folks. And I remember going into that meeting and it was great. And there was, it was very patriotic. It was just, you know, just regular people. And everybody was just in it to truly make this country great again. And I went around and I introduced myself to people. There was, you know, politicians, state senators, assembly folks. It was the GOP meeting right. in Oconto County. And so there I met somebody that sort of with, you know, that's within Trump's orbit, mm-hmm. let's just say. And I went up and introduced myself. We ended up having dinner that night. And, you know, then I just went on a path of getting in front of people, just being myself. We went to Washington, D.C. A week later, my wife and I. There we met a variety of different people and got introduced to. And again, I just took the approach that, hey, look, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to continue to get in front of people. And I'm going to, you know, if this works out, but I would love to have President Trump's endorsement. And basically earned his endorsement.
They
within.
All recommended you and here you are.
Absolutely.
Wow. Hey, I just quickly, and time goes so fast here. You talked about the border. Two other things, Tony, that people could maybe just relate to that you were going to work on when you get there?
You know, the other thing that I hear from people, and again, I've always led with my ears. I think it's important to be a good listener and understand what's going on. I did that in my business as well. You know, I just want to hear what's going on, whether that's the person at the front counter working, at you know, that type of thing. But the other thing I hear that is equally as important as the border is rising prices right now.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to the grocery store. I know the government is saying that it's only a 20% increase in prices, but people are saying and seeing, and I do too, 30, 40, even 50% increases in prices at the grocery store or for everyday items that they have to buy. You're seeing gas prices up almost 60% in increases, and that is concerning to people. It's devastating to folks, especially on a fixed income.
Yeah, I think you're hitting some nerves. Yeah, I just, and the third thing I'll answer it for you. You're going to get some money for Green Bay to help move those damn coal piles.
Well, this okay. Mayor Schmidt, I love it. Well, I want to listen.
We've been working with everybody. We worked with Ribble, with Green, with Kagan, with you name it. We've worked with them. But you know, the money's there. We just need to get it to Green Bay. So you're approachable. You listen. So, we're kind of out of time here. Just closing 30 seconds. I really appreciate you coming in here.
Well, it's my honor, and I'd love to be back. And, you know, I think you said it best, Mayor, that everybody should run for politics. And I'm not through my campaign yet. Right. I'm very excited about winning in August. But
I'm glad you're running. All right. We're going to be back next week, Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Our special guest this week, Tony Weed. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday.